This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show focused on all things Atlanta and sometimes elsewhere. All right, it's April 6, 2008. This is our first live episode ever. I fully expect many errors and technical problems and such. Say hello, Amber.
Hello. I'm very excited to be doing this live episode, and I hope I don't fuck anything up.
Yeah, me too. I also hope she doesn't fuck anything up.
Aw.
Just kidding. Well, you know, we don't have a whole ton of stuff script. I hope everybody can hear us okay, first of all, and second, that's about it. Got voicemails lined up, and then we'll talk a little about Sex 2.0, and then hopefully some callers will show up and we can actually talk with some folks.
And if people call in and we're in the middle of playing a voicemail, what happens? Should they just wait? Like, what's it going to do?
Hopefully they'll also be in chat, and that would be ideal. I mean, I guess we'll try to acknowledge callers as they show up.
So just, I guess if you call and we don't say anything right away, just, like, don't get discouraged.
Yeah, because we'll just finish playing the voicemail and then have you right on.
And I just want to say that I'm really excited about all this voicemail because it was awesome to receive so much of it. And I want to encourage you people to call in with more. And if it's, like, drunken, rambling stuff, that's fine, too.
Yeah. Drunken rambling, all the better. If you want to call our voicemail, that'd be great. 678-389-9441. And if you'd like to call in right now and be a caller on the air, that number is 724-444-7444. Call ID 17403. That's about all I got for that. So, first voicemail we got is from our good buddy Griffdrift, who responded to our last talkie where we were on a road trip to, where were we, Madison?
Mm-hmm.
Madison and a few other small Georgia towns, and he really digs that kind of thing just like we do. So here is his voicemail.
Hello, my friends. It's your old buddy Griffdrift. The latest talkie actually inspired me to call the voicemail. I love road trips. You guys need to call me before you go on road trips through Georgia. I mean, who else besides you guys actually goes out to all these weird places? So a few things that I wanted to comment on the last talkie. First of all, of course, everyone sounds like a hillbilly when they say rural. There's no way to say rural without sounding like a total redneck, except maybe if you're from New Jersey, they probably say something like rural or something weird like that. Another good one is oil. Now, if you really want to get in touch with your inner redneck, get your friends to all say oil. If they're like me and are originally from the nether regions of Georgia, they'll probably slip and say oral. Another good one's pillow. Nobody says pillow. Most people in Georgia say pilla or piller. I even had a cousin once. She actually said puller. She asked to borrow a puller one time, and somebody asked her what the hell she needed to pull. But anyway, it's a great talkie, and I really enjoyed it, and I just wanted to comment on good old Southern accents. And about your whole existential thing about things staying around forever, that was kind of weird. And I think pretty much the reason that people stopped carving stuff in stone is probably because it's hell to carry around. For some reason, I had this image flash through my head of that old Flintstones episode where Fred made an umbrella out of a rock, and his reasoning was it would never, ever break in the wind. Of course, it could. Anyway, good podcast. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thanks, Grift.
And we just got a Twitter that he's listening right now, and this is all so meta and everything.
Yeah, it kind of is like a big circular something or other.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. Anyway, you also have a problem pronouncing the word pillow. Is that correct?
Yeah, we talked about this about 2 years ago in a talkie before we even called it a talkie. And I say pillow, and I don't really want anybody to make fun of me about it or anything. That's how my mom says it. And that's just how I say it, so deal with it.
Like pillbox, pillow.
Pillow.
Pill. Anyway, all right. Great first voicemail. Thanks, Grift. Next voicemail we've got in line is from Nobilis, who has been leaving us a few voicemails lately, which we really appreciate. He also went on a riff about existentialism. It's a little hard to hear for the first 10 seconds or so, but then it comes in okay. So I'm going to play this voicemail from Nobilis.
Hey, folks. This is Nobilis. Listening to your conversation about old-fashioned information technology, about books carving things in stone, and the impermanence of digital media, a thought occurs to me. We've got two sources of ancient information that was actually in the words of those people. One is things, as you note, which are carved in stone. But no one ever carved, for example, the Bible in stone, and yet we have it. Nobody carved the Bhagavad Gita in stone, and yet we have it. So why do we have those things? Well, the reason we have those things is that they were copied. People value them enough to sit down and make copies of them. And as those copies got copied and copied, they lost little bits here and there and had things changed by people who decided that they were going to edit this sacred tome and things like that. But essentially, we still have them because people spent the effort to maintain them. Well, the difference with digital media is that that copying process is so much easier. One of the reasons that I feel that the archives that I've put on Google are more secure than the ones that I have on my hard drive is because Google is a professional outfit that backs stuff up, and I don't always remember to do that. And I've lost stuff in hard drive failures, but I wouldn't expect that to happen so often at something that I've parked online. But the fact is that I can have that trust, not because any given piece of media is permanent, but because the digital media allows for perfect copying. And the perfect copying allows that media to last longer allows the information to outlast the media much longer. Now what is a problem is formatting problems, where finding software that can read old versions of old formats can be tough even now. But even then, when new formats come out, people usually write converters. And again, it takes a certain level of effort to maintain it, but if it's valuable to someone, then they're going to make that copy and maintain it. So I actually think that you're wrong about the permanence of digital media, because the fact that it's digital allows it to outlast the medium on which it's originally written. Does that make sense? Oh, and thank you for addressing my question, and I'll try and think of a more cogent way of putting it so I can get a little more interesting conversation going. Bye.
All right.
He thinks we were wrong.
We were wrong.
No, but it's a good point. I mean, they say that once something is on Google, you can't get rid of it. It's there forever. And that's true. And I mean, really, I guess the whole carving in stone thing, that's just, I mean, nothing is permanent, totally permanent. I mean, if you smash the stone tablet with a hammer, it's gone too. But I guess, like, stone has more likelihood of surviving than, paper. But it is a good point about copying with digital media and it being a better way of copying than, like, copying by hand, because when, all the changes and stuff that were made to, like, the Bible and everything, it's like a big game of telephone with this, sacred document that people are basing their lives on. But so that's a good point. And it makes me feel a little less, worried, I guess.
Wasn't one of your main concerns, though, that say people save a Word document onto a zip disk and sometime in the not too distant future, if somebody didn't transfer it off of that zip disk, they're not going to be able to read it off
No,
of
it is. And that's still kind of unaddressed in this, because a stone tablet, I mean, you could pick it up and read it.
Yeah.
You don't need any drives or anything. And like, I mean, look at, stuff that was recorded like even in the 40s and 50s on the big reel-to-reels. I mean, people don't have reel-to-reel machines sitting around their houses, so like we can still read, we can still listen to that stuff, but it's challenging.
I remember Andy Ditzler was talking about that when we were interviewing him, how he had to like go to all sorts of elaborate measures just to get a film projector just to show some of the movies that he shows at Film Love.
So I would say that the problem is not so much that the information itself is preserved, but it's a problem of accessibility. Because it can be preserved, but if nobody can access it, then it might as well not be there at all.
Okay. Well, thanks for the voicemails, y'all. Again, if you want to leave us a voicemail, the number is 678-389-9441. And at this point, we would love for folks to call in.
Yeah, if you have any thoughts about this whole
Yeah.
existential debate, just call and tell us, and we'll talk about it, and it'll get weird.
Yeah, exactly. We love weird here. That number is 724-444-7444.
Lots
And
of
yeah,
fours.
lots of fours. And the call ID is 17403. So, all right. So you have a conference coming up this weekend.
Wait a minute, didn't we have another voicemail from Nobilis?
No, I think that was the only one.
Why is that played only
It's
halfway
because
through?
I jacked it up when I was recording it. I forgot to stop it.
Oh, okay. For
Yeah.
some reason, I thought there was another one. Okay. Yes, I have a conference coming up on Saturday, April 12th, which is only a few days from now. Sex 2.0. If you haven't heard of it by now, I don't know what's wrong with you because I've been talking about it for months and posting and everything. And right now, I don't know. I'm nervous, but it's so close to the day that, it's gonna go off, so.
Hopefully we're back.
Okay.
Yeah, now we appear to be back. Sorry about that. Comcast cut us off naturally. I don't think that was a talk show thing.
I was wondering what it means up in the corner where it says streaming 1, and before that it said streaming 7.
Yeah, I don't know. I
Maybe we
guess
had
people,
seven people
we might have
listening
had
or something.
seven people and they tuned in and they were like, oh, there's nothing here because, Comcast sucks and they cut you off.
Anyway, we were talking about Sex 2.0, and I mean, you'll get to hear all that because we're recording all this anyway. And we were talking about, I was talking about doing interviews because I've been doing a lot of media interviews lately, and how it's weird, and how this one guy was making jokes about citizen journalism and saying he wants to hire somebody who can use a semicolon. And if you want to talk about media, that's always a fabulous topic.
Yeah, we never get tired of talking about the media around here,
Do you want to
so.
talk about the press club panel?
Which press club panel?
You know,
Oh,
the one
that
from like
press
a
club
week or
panel.
so
Yeah,
ago.
the Oh yeah, what was the whole premise behind that press club panel?
It was like new media ethics
New
in
media. Yeah,
business.
that's one of the things that irritates me about these sorts of panels is they always frame it as a question of how do bloggers affect ethics? And it's like, I don't know, how about how are ethics being affected in general? I mean, it's
I know they treat it as like bloggers are this external outside force that exerts influence, and that there weren't any problems with ethics or anything that needed to be addressed. Like the default was okay before bloggers came along, and now they're affecting ethics.
Which the irony, of course, is that this was held the day after WSB with their lead story on the evening news. Yeah, okay. There's Grift. He says he's back. Yeah, okay. So this happened the same day as on the evening news. WSB's lead story was publishing all of this personal information about a guy who was innocent of committing, what was it? Not child molestation, but some
Oh, I
similar
don't know.
crime, whatever it was.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, why don't you instead of asking how this external force that you apparently don't identify with is affecting ethics, why don't you examine ethics within your own organization first? Yeah. Because there's something worth examining.
No doubt. So, that's all I got on that.
What else? I mean, and it was also... I could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
It was also a topic at WAM, because I was at the WAM conference last weekend in Boston. That's Women, Action, and the Media, which was just... That was the best conference I've ever been to so far. And Helen Thomas was a keynote speaker, which was just awesome. She's just amazing. But there was a lot of talk about ethics, you know. That was a big topic, especially at a panel that my good friend Audacia, who is also the keynote speaker at Sex 2.0, she did a session on sex workers and media representation. And it was a topic there about how during the Spitzer scandal, the media was basically exploiting Kristen, who was the escort in the case. And they didn't think anything of it. They didn't see anything wrong. They exploited her just like there's no tomorrow, and publishing her personal information, including her full name. For the most part, other than sex workers' rights activists, nobody questioned that. Nobody seemed to think that that was a problem. And it's just mind-boggling. So, I mean, if the mainstream media wants people to talk to them, maybe they need to examine themselves first and look at the way they're exploiting people's trust, because trust is something you have to earn. It's not something that they just deserve.
Well, that was a funny thing to me, is they were talking about how exploitative it all was, and then at the same time, they're publishing this person's name and salacious photos and all sorts of personal information.
Digging up her past, like, ooh, let's interview her friends. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? It was just... It was a pretty awful debacle, but not surprising. And like the other thing, another example was, you know, Audacia wrote about this on her blog with MSNBC calling her up and asking her, "Have you been a whore?" And she was like,
"Like that's not a loaded question.
You need to work on your terminology."
Yeah.
And then so she blogged about it. She called them out and blogged about it. And then it got picked up on Media Bistro. And then somebody from MSNBC came along and denied that they ever said that. Obviously, this was not the person who talked to her on the phone. It was somebody else from MSNBC, so this person had no way of knowing. But then people were like, well, you know, who are you going to believe, MSNBC or this girl? And it's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I was disappointed too.
But let's try to get on a positive topic.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess people like outrage, but
I mean, it's,
I don't know, it kind of bums me out.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it's something that needs to be talked about, and yeah. I think there's just, you know, being outraged and not doing anything about it, and then there's also talking about things that need to be talked about.
Yeah,
there's a difference. We're probably only going to stay on for about like 8 more minutes. So if you want to call, go ahead and do it. Damn
it. We
would
love calls, yeah.
And you can ask us questions about being outraged. That reminds me, I hate that bumper sticker that says, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. I hate that bumper sticker because...
Why do you hate it?
Because it doesn't do anything. Like, the whole point of it is just like a guilt trip.
Well, it's sort of like the Department of Homeland Security. It's with their orange alerts and stuff. They just want you to be scared. They don't want you to actually act on that.
Right. It's like, all right, now I'm outraged. Now what?
Yeah. So, you know? What do we do with all this outrage?
But anyway, I mean, people who think that politics is a bumper sticker is a whole other topic anyway. But I just really don't like that bumper sticker.
I kind of hate bumper stickers in general, though.
Yeah, but
I don't have much use for them.
Except for the Carrie Edwards one that was on your car for 4 years.
That's a good point. Well, that's why I don't have much use for them, because I put them on and then they're sticky, and it's like I have to go buy a damn razor blade just to get this stupid ass thing
Except
off of
you
it.
Didn't need a razor blade to get that one
well,
off.
That's because I left it so long that it rotted off. All right. I mean, like, we took it, and that's another story, is that my truck hadn't been washed in like 4 or 5 years. And so I finally took it in to get washed because it was just about to eat itself from the inside or something. And so I took it up to the Cactus Car Wash and got them to wash it. It took like 3 people to clean out the interior. But after they were done washing it, I had actually purchased some razor blades with the intent of scraping the bumper sticker off of the back window. And it turned out I didn't need the razor blades because the damn thing had already rotted off.
It knew its time had come.
It knew its time had come, and it was just totally inevitable. So that's my bumper sticker story. I hate bumper stickers.
Aww.
Even though I had one.
Hate's kind of a strong word for a bumper sticker.
Okay, I intensely dislike bumper stickers.
Do you think we should talk about sex clubs? Because people seem to like it when we talk about that.
People like that, but I don't know. I think it's, you know, I kind of want to take a break from it because we've had, like, out of our last 6 or 7 podcasts, maybe half of them have been about that.
Well, and we don't really have anything new to say about it anyway.
What else you got?
Well, I don't want to talk about the fact that I got in 2 car accidents.
Oh.
But I did get in 2 car accidents.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah. But, you know, you'll get your car back next week, so that's good.
So, our friends Jen and Tony and Sarah have been talking about doing all these podcasts about things like time travel and Disneyland versus Disney World. And there was another one that Jen mentioned recently on Twitter that I can't remember. But I just want to tell people, if you want to talk about any of these things, call and leave a voicemail. And
we'll play the shit out of it.
We actually talked about time travel like 2 years ago when we did a podcast with Dwayne. And it was pretty fascinating.
And we weren't even stoned, believe it or not.
No, but I mean, some of us were drunk. But
some of us, with that sigh, and she sort of looks over to my side of the desk.
And I still remember the best quote from Garrett. Well, Rusty said, well, we were talking about, like, if you go back in time, like, to the 50s or something, you could probably function, you know, pretty well. But what would you do about money? Like, if you handed them a dollar, you know, they might notice if the date on the dollar, I mean, nobody really looks, but what if they did and they noticed that the date was in the future?
It was like 2007.
And they think it was counterfeit and everything. So we were thinking, like, what do you do about money? Like, what do you do about all these practicalities? And in Back to the Future, Doc had a suitcase full of different currency.
Yeah. So Doc had it all thought out.
But, I mean, not everybody's going to be that prepared. And they didn't even address where he got all that currency anyway. But somebody said something about check fraud, and then Rusty goes, I had not thought of check fraud. And then Garrett goes, I always think of check fraud.
Yeah, that was quote of the night. That was good work. Way to go, Garrett. Oh, there was Velcro. Remember we were talking about Velcro with Catherine?
Oh, shit. We could do a whole podcast about
Velcro. We could do a whole podcast about Velcro. I had no idea until I went and, you know, got kind of, sort of, but not quite drunk with Catherine and some other folks the other night, that Velcro had, there are just so many types of Velcro.
Don't you mean hook and loop?
Hook and loop, yes I do.
Because adhesive
Velcro
product
is the brand name, and it is not the the actual thing. It's not like paper is paper. I mean,
they're probably going to send us a cease and desist letter.
They probably will, because there's hook and loop, whatever the fuck the actual technical term is. And then there's Velcro, which is the brand name. It's sort of like soda versus Coca-Cola or Photoshop. You know, you're not supposed to. Adobe had that whole big page about you're not supposed to use Photoshop as a verb, but yet everybody uses it as a verb.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, nobody has called in. I'm a little disappointed, but
well, thanks to the folks who are listening on the stream, though. I know there's a few there, so that's good.
Yeah.
Thanks. We hope you'll call in next time we do one of these. But we're still glad we could do it. If you leave us a voicemail later on, we'll play it in the next one. Voicemail is 678-389-9441.
Tell us what you think about the whole existential debate about preserving stuff.
Existentialism, preservation, yeah. All that sort of thing.
Just in closing, everybody, come on out to Sex 2.0 next Saturday. Register in advance. It'll be a rollicking good time.
Indeed. All right. Well, thanks.
Bye. Are you tired of going to tech conferences and being called a dirty slut who hates America? Well, fret no more. Sex 2.0, an unconference focused on the intersection of social media, feminism, and sexuality, is coming to 1763 in Atlanta on April 12, 2008. Go to sex20con.com to find out more and to reserve your spot. And I promise, no one at this conference will say you deserve to get fired from your day job for posting naked photos online.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.